scoot everything to the middle. Everybody move toward the middle, please. That way we can have seating on the sides for those that are still pouring in the room this morning. So go ahead and relax, stand back up, and scoot and fill up all those seats there all the way in the middle. This is going to be a great service.
Gosh, you guys sound great. You may be seated. Well, welcome to Christmas Eve worship with us here at Prestonwood. So excited to have all of you here. Thanks to all of you who are tuning in online and some who are in some of our additional seating in the loft. We welcome you and are so excited to have you here in worship with us this Christmas Eve at Prestonwood. If we have never been introduced, my name is Connor Bales. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor here at the North Campus of our church. And on behalf of our entire church family, I want to welcome all of you here with us today, especially those of you who are guests or maybe family that are visiting in from out of town. I've gotten to meet a lot of different family members that are here and guests that are visiting with us this morning. And we are just honored to have you celebrating your Christmas with us here at Prestonwood. We would love an opportunity to connect with you. And so if you would just text us the word connect to the number 55125, that's all you have to do. Just in the subject line, put the word connect and then shoot that to the number 55125 and let us know about your visit here today, because we would like to be able to connect with you and introduce ourselves more personally and maybe help you and your family find a place where you can connect with us here as a church. And I also want to put it on your radar that next Sunday is New Year's Eve. And so we will have one worship service at 10 a.m. next weekend. So please join us. Parents, take advantage. We will have preschool ministry available all the way through kindergarten. So birth through kindergarten next Sunday. And then a 10 o'clock worship service that you are not going to want to miss. You know, God is doing some great things in our church. And one of the ways in which we can express our gratitude is through our generous offering and our giving to God. And the reason we give to God is because the story of Christmas is that God most generously has given to us. And so I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward and to begin to take their places to receive this morning's offering. And this is just a reminder to all of you that as those plates are being passed, it never matters here at Prestonwood whether we're singing or sharing, whether we're sitting or standing. Just when that plate gets to you, if you would just help make sure it gets to the person next to you or to the row behind you, this is an expression of our worship. We want to be generous toward God because, again, Jesus is the evidence that God has been most generous toward us. So let's pray, and then we'll continue in worship today. Father, thank you so much for Christmas. Thank you for the celebration of Jesus, God. Thank you for just the goodness that we have in you through Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you would be pleased with everything that is said and sung here today. Bless these families that are here today to celebrate your goodness and your grace. We love you and we acknowledge we cannot do anything good without you. So we pray to you and through you in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We would ask that you stand once again. Let's sing some great familiar Christmas hymns together. Hark the herald angels sing.
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory. Thank you.
Oh, come, let us adore him, Jesus Christ the Lord. You know this one. Let's sing it together. Oh, come, all ye faithful.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him in Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Oh, glory to God, oh, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh,
sound fantastic this morning. Special time in our Christmas Eve services that we always look forward to is the time with our children here at the front. Adam Cox, our children's minister, is going to greet all of our kids. In fact, he told me he's going to give every child a $20 bill that comes down to the front. Just kidding, because parents are pouring down to the front right now. No, send your children on down. Let's have a time with our children this morning. It's a great time to join the kids this morning. Go tell it on the mountain.
Y'all can still make your way down. We got enough. Boys and girls, get in as close as you can. We want to get as many people down here as we can. Hey, how many people know, real quick, what tomorrow is? Oh, woo! I'm so glad. I thought I had it off. I thought it was next week. Whew, that's good, though. Hey, today, boys and girls, I have got something very special for each one of you. Here I have a box, a little trick I'm going to show you here today. Now, as you can see, it is a cylinder, and you can see my hand. Hey, boys and girls all the way over there. How are you all? Hey, and what this is going to do is it's going to help us to see what the true meaning of Christmas. Actually, it's going to show what people feel Christmas is all about. And I also have a box over here. You can hear it's kind of solid. My arm does go through there. I can see you guys over there. I'm waving. You can see my hand. Show you it's empty on that side. Place that back on. Now, in just a second, it's going to tell us what people feel the true meaning of Christmas is all about. Are you ready? Here's the first thing. What is this? Does anybody know? A scarf? Yeah, I like that. The colors? I heard somebody say that. Bright colors? Well, boys and girls, all this color here is going to represent lights. A lot of people feel that Christmas is all about lights. Oh, I've got to get one more strand on the house. Oh, that one's not twinkling over there. Oh, wait, we need to go and get another inflatable. They're on sale at Lowe's right now. Woo! A lot of people feel, boys and girls, that Christmas is all about the lights. But we know that's not true, right? That's right. Well, let's look here. I want to show you real quick that it is empty again, just so you can make sure of that, all right? I'm going to place that back on top. Now, another... It's got something else for us. A lot of people feel that Christmas is all about, are you ready? What is this gonna represent? Somebody said it, candy canes. A lot of people feel that Christmas, boys and girls, is all about candy, all about food. Grandma's cookies. Oh, they're gonna be the best. But her dumplings, they're the best. But a lot of people, boys and girls, feel that Christmas is all about the food, the candy, the stuff that we're going to be eating tomorrow. But we know that's not the case, right? Yeah, well, he gave us something else. Let's see what else. Some people feel that Christmas is all about what? Presents! That's right. No! It's not. Yeah, a lot of people feel that Christmas is all about gifts. Oh, I've got to get my child one more gift. They have an even number. We got to get an odd number of presents. Oh, is that store still open? We can still make it, honey, after the service. No, you don't need another gift. A lot of people feel that Christmas is all about the gifts. Hey, that's all right. We know that Jesus even got gifts, but that's not the most important thing, right? All right, let me go ahead and show you guys once more that it is empty here. And I know some parents are probably saying, hey, what about the box? It is empty too. So I'll go ahead and show you that. Now, are you ready? This is a big one. Boys and girls, this has been going on since like Halloween. A lot of people feel that Christmas is all about... No, but yes, a lot of people do. They feel that Christmas is all about the big man. Ho, 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 right? Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. But we know that that's not what Christmas is all about. Hold on a second, boys and girls. This is big. Oh. Boys and girls, it's giving us this scarf, saying that Christmas, that's right, it's all about Jesus. That's right, boys and girls, the most important thing ever. Boys and girls, we need to remember this Christmas, that all of these things here are great. Christmas lights are great, and your ornaments and your inflatables and food, that's great, and presents. Oh, I love presents. Those are great. But we need to remember the reason for the season. It's all about Jesus. God loved his one and only son, boys and girls, that he sent him as a baby to come. So one day, he could go and die on a cross for each one of us. Boys and girls, as you open presents tomorrow, I want you to remember the true meaning of Christmas. It's all about Jesus. All those things are great, but we need to remember to let our light shine. We need to let our light shine just like they did that night when Jesus was born. Boys and girls, today we have a special gift for you, a star. And as you go out your doors today, you'll be able to pick that up. But we want you to remember tomorrow, all those things are great, but remember to let your light shine for Jesus, not only tomorrow, but all next year and the years after that. Boys and girls, I'm so excited that you're here today. Thank you for coming. You can make your way back to your parents. Parents, stand up so they can see where you're at today.
Praying and continue to pray for the nation of Israel. We've prayed over these recent days, praying for all those impacted by war in that region. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, made this declaration for all who seek the Messiah then and even those seeking today. The people who walked in darkness, he prophesied, have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Thank you. stars in the wintry sky. Joy of the Father, reach through the darkness, shine across the earth, send the shadows to fight. Light of the world, from the beginning, the tragedies of this time were no match for your love. From great heights of glory, you soar and soar.
Amen. You guys sound great. Well, again, my name is Connor Bales, and on behalf of our entire church family, welcome to Christmas Eve at Prestonwood. We are so glad to have all of you here. If you brought your copy of God's Word, would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, to Philippians chapter 2. That's where we're going to be this morning, just for the next few minutes. Also, want to give a shout out to all of the moms and the dads in the room who are about to feel the deep pain associated with three small words, some assembly required. Just know my heart goes out to you. And for the dads in the room, especially one dad to another, I got a few jokes I'd like to share if you don't mind just this morning. Feels appropriate for me to share with one dad to many dads. The first one is just probably something you all know. The Christmas alphabet obviously only has 25 letters. I'm just curious if you know why. There is no L. Thank you, right there. This guy loves Jesus. Here we go. Here's the next one. Did you know that Frosty the Snowman has a particular word assigned to a temper tantrum when he throws one? Do you know what that's called? A meltdown. You're welcome. And here's my favorite, okay? Do you know why Santa never ends up in the hospital? He has really good private elf care. Yes! Yes! Okay, stop judging me over there in the corner. I see you. Unbelievable. These are dad jokes for a reason. Listen, Merry Christmas. I just love, you know, if you've been here at Prestonwood, you know this is my absolute favorite time of year. It's my favorite celebration for us. This is my favorite service that we get to celebrate as a family of faith. It's so special for me for so many reasons, mostly because of all of you. And it's just such a joy. And at 2:30 this afternoon, my whole family, this is the only service every year that my whole family gets to participate. Libby and Hannah get to hear their dad preach. And so I just love being here. But you know, with all of the celebration, all the joy that is associated with Christmas, sometimes we can lose focus. But I think it's worth reminding us this morning that if you take the significance of Christ out of Christmas, it isn't Christmas. It's a holiday gathering. It could be a great family fun gift exchange. It could be really good food. It can be a festive. It can be all sorts of things, even fun and enjoyable things. But it is imperative that as followers of Jesus, we be reminded that absent Christ, what we're celebrating isn't Christmas. And in the same way, because Jesus is central to that understanding of Christmas, we have to understand the totality of who Jesus is and what God has come to do. And so what we're going to see here in Philippians chapter 2 is this big idea that if you forfeit any part of who Jesus is or the significance of what he has done, then you no longer have Jesus. And so I want us to be reminded in this great way with this very short passage given to us by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, just as a reminder of the necessity and the importance and the significance of the Christ we're celebrating at Christmas. So this is Philippians chapter 2. If you don't have a copy of God's word, we'll put the scriptures up on the screen behind me. But would you start with me in verse number 5? And if you're there, say, I got it. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Just a quick pause. This isn't in my notes, but I think it's worth reminding us that if you are in Christ Jesus, it is possible to think about things as God intends for us to. Now, I know that for me, often the greatest battleground in my life is the 6 inches between my ears. So sometimes the way I think about things is not the way God would have for me to think about things. But if you are in Christ, it is possible to think about things the way God intends for us to. So this is what Paul says. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Three things Paul points out that help us understand the totality of who Jesus is. A very short summary, a synopsis, if you will, regarding the life and ministry of Christ, but very necessary for us to see the understanding of who Jesus is. And again, you take any one of these away and who you have is no longer Jesus. The first thing Paul tells us we must embrace as we see the reality of the person of Christ is his presence. In fact, Christmas is all about God's presence, that God's love is so great that he left his throne in heaven and he came to earth. He entered into this broken place where you and I live every single day, and he brought to us, ushered in for us, his very presence to rescue, to redeem, to right what's wrong, and yes, to save. God gives us his presence. This is what Paul says. He says, have this mind. Think about this the way God intends for you to, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That word grasp, it can mean to hold on to. And he says, instead, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Fam, this is the cradle of Christmas. This is central to the understanding of all that we're celebrating here today and tomorrow and in these last several weeks. We're celebrating that God's love is so great that he ushered in his very son. He brought us his presence to dwell with us, to live among us, to die for us, that God's presence is what he has come to give. That's why we always say that Jesus is the great gift of Christmas. And I don't have to convince you about the power of presence, right? Especially when it's someone that you know and means so much to you. I grew up in Waco in Central Texas long before Chip and Joanna made it cool. And I'm old school, okay? And so I grew up in a small private Christian school there in Waco, and there were not a lot of private schools in Waco for us to play sports against. And so oftentimes we played against very tiny Central Texas towns that you might not have ever heard of, like La Vega, and we played against Chilton and Mejia, and we played against West Texas, right? And I don't mean like Midland, Odessa. I mean the city of West Texas, which is on I-35. That's where you get your kolaches when you're going to Austin. Can I get a witness? That's right, a few of you have been saved. Okay, so we played basketball one time when I was in junior high at West Texas, and it was in a metal building that was their gym, had a big metal door, and I was a seventh grader having a very good game. And I can remember almost feeling like it didn't matter because my hero was my dad, and he was always at every one of my games, and he hadn't yet made it to this one. And then all of a sudden we break the huddle early in the second quarter, and I remember walking back onto the court, and I can still see today the light breaking into that dark and dungy, you know, kind of dingy looking gym, and that big metal door swings open, and my dad was in the insurance business, and in the 80s you always wore a suit and tie to work, and so my dad in his suit and tie comes barreling into that little middle school gym, and all of a sudden all was right in the world, because there was such significance with someone who meant so much to me ushering in his presence. And family, can I just love you? God's love, can I just tell you, God's love is so great that he ushered in his presence, and Christmas is the story of that. That he brought us his very presence, sending us his only son. And Paul wants to highlight that. He was born in the likeness of men. This is the cradle of Christmas. The second reality Paul points out to us beyond the significance of his presence is the prominence of his power. And what we see is that comes in the form of his payment. That Jesus Christ paid a penalty for us that we could never provide for ourselves. So his payment for your life and for mine is what makes Christmas so significant, that baby in the cradle is also the Savior on the cross. Look at verse 8. This is what Paul writes. He says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So, we've talked about the cradle of Christmas. This is the cross of Christ. That if you forfeit the understanding that God's love is so great that he ushers his presence in for us, but you forsake the reason why he came was to substitute himself as a payment for your sin and for mine, then you don't understand Jesus. And there's such power with understanding the payment of a penalty. Like right now, it's college football bowl season, and there are so many college football bowls happening that are occupying our Tuesday night for no reason. These are just such random bowl games, like my mom and dad are proud of me.com bowl. And so, so you're 6-6, you get invited, right? So it is, it's just what's going on right now. And I've noticed with all of this college football happening that a lot of penalties are being called. And it's interesting to watch the players on the sideline when a penalty is thrown, when a penalty is called, because you can almost see like an anticipation from a teammate that when someone has a penalty and maybe they're going to have to be substituted as a result of that, there's almost an anticipation or an excitement that I'm going to get to go and get playing time for him because he's going to be substituted out. And so I'm going to be substituted in. But I've never seen anyone volunteer or get excited about substituting themselves for the penalty. So if a person has been taken out or ejected from a game, you never see anybody raise their hand and volunteer and say, you know what, I'll take their penalty so they can stay in and have my playing time instead. But fam, can I just tell you the story of Christmas, the good news of the gospel is that God took our penalty so that we could have his playing time of righteousness. And this is the power of his payment. And Paul wants us to see this is the totality of who Jesus is, which leads me to the last idea that is communicated that I think is worthy to be embraced, and that is his power. We've seen his presence. It's significant. We know his payment. It brings forgiveness. But absent understanding the glory, the majesty, the wonder that is his power, we fail to see the totality of who Jesus is. Look again at verses 9 through 11. He says, therefore, in other words, in light of that or because of what he has done, God has highly exalted him. And he has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we've seen the cradle of Christmas and the cross of Christ, but this is the crown of our King. Right? Like, think about this. The Bible would say in other places that Jesus is the King of Kings, that he's the Lord of Lords, that he's the beginning and the end, that he holds all things together by the word of his power. And this God is who left his throne and came to our earth to substitute himself as a ransom payment for our sin, so that if we choose to exercise faith and believe in him, we can have our relationship with God restored and we can have life with God forever. And I don't know if you heard it in verse 10, but the apostle is very clear that it's not some knees are gonna bow and only willing tongues are gonna confess. Did you catch that? It's every knee bows. And every tongue confesses. And so the question is not whether we will, the question is whether you have. Because the thing I can't answer for you this Christmas, but I know that every one of us must, is I don't know where you are in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but I know where you should be. You see, God's love is so great that he sent Jesus. Christmas. Like, what a mistake for us to celebrate the fun of family and all the good food and the laughter and the tearing up of presents and all these traditions and all of these great songs and to miss the gift of grace. What a terrible tragedy for us to forfeit what it is that God alone has provided for you and for me. You see, the Bible says that Jesus describes himself as the light of the world. And he goes on and says that whoever follows after me no longer walks in darkness, but has the light of life. So some of you are probably feeling like things are pretty dark right now. But I'm telling you that the message of Christmas and the hope of the gospel is that light has come. And he's brought us his presence. He's been our payment, and he's displayed his power, the cradle, the cross, and the crown. I don't know where you are with Jesus, but I know where you should be. And if you desire to have a relationship with him, would you consider not letting this Christmas pass you by without taking care of that? You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, so right where you are, you can just say, God, I am a sinner and I'm trusting in Jesus as my Savior. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, this is the giving of yourself over to believing that God has done a work for you that you could never do for yourself. And so if you say, Christ, I invite you into my life today. I'm trusting you as Savior, giving myself to you as Lord. The Bible says if you believe that and if you will confess that, everyone who does so will be saved. That's you. And if you decide to do that today, then when we're dismissed in just a moment after we light our candles and everything concludes, you can stop right out in the middle at Guest Central. We have staff and volunteers. Here's a few things we want to do. One, we want to put a Bible in your hand.
no strings attached. Our gift to you for Christmas. We'll give you a Bible. We have a small booklet that'll talk to you about this new life in Christ, this journey you've begun with Jesus. I'm simply encouraging you not to waste this gift that God gives, because we understand the totality of who Jesus is. We take any part away and it's no longer Jesus. We've taken the Christ out of our Christmas. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for who you are and thank you for all that you've done. Father, I pray for every person in this room and those who are watching in the room next door and those who are watching us online. God, I pray that we would understand where we are in our relationship with you. And God, there would be some who would choose this Christmas to give their life to Christ. Thank you for Jesus coming in a cradle, dying on a cross, wearing now his crown. We belong to him all because of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Raise his holy name.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Tender and
Merry Christmas, Prestonwood. Please extinguish your candles. I just want to say to all of you what a joy it is to serve you and how grateful to God I am for you. And you are the joy of my life to get to serve as your pastor. And I just want you to know how much you and your families mean to me and to mine. And so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. From the Bales family to each and every one of yours, Merry Christmas. I love you. God bless you. You are dismissed.